Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. Let's talk about it.
Hey, let's talk about it, listeners. Today we have a special guest, Dr. Margaret Naguib. She has been my doctor, Margaret, at a time and a season. And honestly, she's been a counselor to some of my best friends, to some of the most amazing pastors and leaders that I know. So you know right now that this woman is a trusted source that we've brought in, and you get to come in for free right now.
No charge.
Yeah, no charge. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to be here with you.
Yeah, we've actually realized today we've never got to do it in person.
Yeah.
You're kind of located in two different places, right?
I'm in Chicago right now.
You're in Chicago. Okay. Yeah. It was Chicago, LA. You never knew where to find her.
That's right.
But it's amazing. So when you're listening from wherever in the world, you know, a lot of times we hear like, it's really hard to find a counselor in my small town, or how do I find somebody I can trust? And that's what's amazing is when she was recommended to me, I'm like, she can be anywhere. I can be anywhere. And we can still get this work done.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah. So what's the website? We'll just start off with it, of how somebody could connect with you, find more out about you.
Well, in this day and age, Instagram is actually the fastest way to connect with me. So
okay.
It's just Margaret Naguib at Instagram. And there'll be a link tree on there. This makes it super easy. And you can DM me or message me through the website on there.
Perfect. Yeah. And you're going to want to follow her because she's, I remember when I first got to know you, you weren't putting a bunch out yet on Instagram.
No.
And now she is. And all the time I'm like resharing it and I'm, you know, texting it to friends. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this stuff's so good. Today we're going to dive into one of the topics that she posted about on Instagram, because I was like, this is such a hot topic. And it's something that I think touches just about everybody. So a lot of times, listeners, you know, we have a topic for singles or for marrieds or for parents, but this is for everyone. So everyone, keep listening. You're going to also want to share this with somebody you know, with that little like shoulder nudge of like, you need to hear this too. But it's the T word. Well, our last podcast with Dr. Margaret was all about trauma, which is a huge, big T word in today's day and age.
Yeah.
But I think the other one is triggers.
That one's really fun.
How many times a day do I hear somebody say, that triggered me, you're triggering me?
Yeah.
And honestly, even in parenting, thankfully my kids don't have that language yet, but I can tell when I'm triggering them. So it's this understanding of there's so much more to it. And I think a lot of us have this, I have such a hesitation towards it now because it's become almost like this box of don't touch this area of my life. Like, you've triggered me, done. And it's like an excuse to not deal with anything, not touch something. And it really, really, really just shuts down that part of your life. Do you see that a lot?
Well, and the irony of that comment is when you're truly triggered, you don't know you're triggered.
Wow.
You don't know. So if someone's saying that a lot, then yeah, they're a little ticked off by you. And, you know, that thing might be sensitive to them. But they're a lot more aware than you would think someone would be when they're triggered. So,
wow.
And I agree. I think in times we've used that as a kind of deflection or a cop out. But we're going to talk about what they really are today. So we'll clear up some of the confusion.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So let's really quick, before we talk about what they are, will you address even then more of what you think is happening when somebody's misusing that term? So like you said, they could just be ticked off, like, hey, that just makes me angry. Like, what would be some replacement language for what we're typically seeing show up for us in those moments?
Yeah. So if someone's saying that, I don't really know what it means unless I ask them.
Right.
So I probably would just, you know, if a client said that to me, let's say, or someone said that to me, I would just say, oh, tell me more. What do you mean? What just happened? And that way you're encouraging them to actually be more articulate about what's happening.
Perfect.
And then you'll see kind of from there. And maybe it is a trigger.
Right.
And that's great. But that alone, just knowing what your trigger is and that's the end of the story, that's the problem. That's not the end of the story. Because when you say that, you're implying that it's your fault. And so you need to just stop triggering me.
Yeah.
But as we're going to talk about today, in order to heal from a trigger, you have to, number one, recognize and own that it's 100% your trigger. You may do just the right thing that sets my trigger off, but at the end of the day, it's my trigger. It's like I have a button. And well, actually, button's not even a good thing, because we think of triggers as you pressed my buttons, but I'm the one with the button to begin with. And if I didn't have the button, that wouldn't trigger me.
Wow. Okay.
So I can get mad at you for not pushing my button. Or you know what? I can be more powerful and decide I don't want to have this button anymore.
Wow.
That's just waiting for you to press it. So sometimes when people say that thing, they're basically saying, you're pressing that button, stop pressing that button. And there's a season of that, you know, especially with your friends and family, as you get to know each other's triggers, you don't want to use that against them, but you don't want to stop there. You want to take responsibility and you get a choice. Do you want to work on that so it's not this big I don't know how big the button is. For some people, it's really big. Yeah. For some, it's small. But it's on you to deal with that trigger.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So a lot of blame is what we need to get rid of when it comes to that, of just thinking this is always somebody else's fault. Well, I need to
that
own.
Might just be part of your reactivity. Wow. So when we get triggered, we have an emotional reaction, and it's either external or it's internal. And when we're blaming and we're getting angry and we're getting, that's an external behavior trigger. And we tend to have a tendency. So my tendency when I'm triggered is to go internal, right? And start thinking and feeling and whatever. But for some people, it's to, you know, they get angry or they run away or whatever that they do. It's more external.
Okay.
So that's all part of the process, you know, and you, when you start to work on your triggers, one of the processes is getting to really know your trigger cycle, what it looks like for you when you get triggered.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking you guys need to take notes. If you're driving, remember to listen to this at another time when you're
Don't
not
take
driving.
Notes when you're driving.
I wish I was taking notes right now. Okay, so just teach us, Dr. Margaret, what are these stages? How do we identify what really is a trigger? Where do we begin?
Okay, so the number one thing that's hard about a trigger is we feel so out of control, right? Because it is at its base, it is a physiological response to a perceived threat. That's the same definition for trauma and stress.
Wow.
It's just that the perceived threat is coming from a different thing, right? It's coming from something in the past that still lives in us and is affecting us. And in that moment, something about what happened or what someone said or what someone did just hit the bell, hit that button, and then you had that physical reaction because you're perceiving a threat. So that's mostly physical, and it's about something in the past that still kind of is affecting us. So second, underneath that, what causes it to begin with is underlying every trigger is a core fear, a fear that you have based on an unresolved emotion, an unresolved need, where at that time, you notice when it's always easier when someone else is triggered to go, oh, whoa, like what's happening here, right? And the reason why they're having that reaction, you're thinking this is a 3 and they're reacting like it's a 10.
Mm, okay.
And that makes sense. But it started with a core fear where in that situation back in the day, it probably really was a 10.
Wow.
And they felt powerless and hopeless, not attuned to, and they did their best. Right. And that's still unresolved. And so now something happens that's small and I'm showing up like, you know, what happened in the past.
Wow.
And the thing is, because it happened in the past and because it becomes a conditioned thing, it's now part of your subconscious and your unconscious. It's an automatic response.
Wow.
So it doesn't help me to get mad at someone if they get triggered because they're not trying to have that response. It literally is part of the autonomic nervous system that kicks in and goes, shoom. You know, similar to a trauma response where someone has a trauma response and it's automatic. Right. So you can't really blame someone for that. But unless I heal that thing from the past, I'm going to continue to have that response.
Wow.
So the first thing that you want to do is, number one, you want to own it and recognize like this is 100% on me. And you want to have compassion on someone else. Like if I were in your shoes back in the day, I'd probably react the same way.
Mm.
So if it's someone else, I'm trying to have compassion. If it's me, I'm also having compassion that there's something here that I need to look at. But really the first thing is to get to know what your trigger is. So now when you've calmed down, not when you're in the midst of it, you're going to start thinking and looking at, okay, what are the things that I do? What are the things that trigger me? And then what happens to my body when I get triggered? Do I externally react? Do I internally react? Do I get anxious? Do I get aggressive? Literally, what do I feel in my body? Does my, you know, the temperature start to rise in me and I just say stuff without thinking? And you want to like write that down, map it out, get to know. I call it getting to know your triggered self. You might even just triggered self. Give her a name.
Yeah.
You know, this is her name based on her behavior.
Well, call me Catwoman.
That is, I love that.
Rare.
Exactly. Exactly. Give her a name.
Yep.
Draw a picture of her. So I actually have my clients do this. Draw a picture of her and write down 10 descriptors.
Wow.
You know, of what she's like. Number one, that takes the shame out. It's just, this is me when I'm triggered.
Wow.
You know, this is me when I'm not at my best. And then begin to write out what are the typical things that trigger me and see if you can't begin to identify a pattern of what's the core fear.
Okay.
Right? What's that fear? And when do I first remember kind of this? And then hopefully you will have some compassion and go, oh, this makes a lot of sense. And then the third thing you want to do is you want to get really good at regulating yourself. So this is the point where people want to like, let's break off a lie and let's get to the issue. And I'm like, you're going to do that. But right now, this is all about self-regulation.
Mm.
You know, even if you know all that stuff, a trigger is I'm dysregulated, right? And so the number one thing you want to learn how to do is regulate yourself. And when I say regulate, I just mean your nervous system is in fight or flight because it's okay. Perceiving a threat. So you're anxious or afraid or irritable, you know, you're reacting. You're no longer in your logical brain. So we can break down our brain into three major parts for simplicity. The first one is your logical, rational brain, which is your, you know, core executive functioning. That's where you make decisions. It's very logical. It knows that this is not, you know, your norm. It doesn't want to trigger. But when you're triggered, that part of your brain is completely offline.
Wow.
And you're in your survival brain, the back of your brain. The very primitive survival part of your brain. So you literally think you have to survive something.
Wow.
You're not even really in your emotional brain. So it's logical, emotional, and survival brain. You're not even there. You're just in survival mode. So I call it kind of the, you know, the feral cat that comes to your door that can be super cute. And you're like, I just want to take care. If it's me, I just want to take care of you and feed you. And they want nothing to do with you because they live in that survival brain.
Wow.
So when you don't take care of your triggers, you depending on your environment and how triggering your environment is, you can just live in survival brain and you're not at your best. You're not really living in survival brain.
Wow.
So that's why I say, once you kind of know your trigger patterns, the first thing you want to do is help get yourself out of survival brain. So logic isn't going to work. It's calming yourself, right? So when your baby cries and they're all upset, you don't logic it, you soothe it. And so that's what you need to learn how to do is soothe it. Mm. And that's what you want your partner to try to help you do, your friends or your family. Like, hey, this is what would be helpful to me when you see that I'm triggered.
Wow.
I'm actually needing you to help me co-regulate. Can you help me do that? And so we can really help each other with that. And then the next thing is to let yourself feel those emotions around the core fear.
Okay. You know? Once you're regulated?
Yeah, so you've gotten yourself regulated because remember, you can't access your emotional or your logical brain yet.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you've come back down. You've come back to nervous system calm, right? And then you look back on the event and you go, how did I feel? I was scared, you know, or I was angry because I thought this was going to happen. Now that I'm looking at it with my logical brain, I can go, wow, that felt like a 10. But now I look back and it's only a 3. And then that's when you can start to, you know, just feel that. It's okay that I felt that. You don't want to shame yourself in that moment. It can be really easy to shame yourself and feel embarrassed for your reaction. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, you have to start with owning that. Why? Because let's say the trigger started when you were 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's because when I was 10, nobody did that for me.
Yeah.
Nobody sat there with me and said, it's okay that you're angry. It's okay that you're scared. So I also have to regulate, calm, and then validate, yeah, I was scared. It's okay to be scared. And then you can kind of start to kind of look backwards and identify, well, what's that core fear and why I have that core fear, and maybe even do some inner child work around that core fear. And then the last thing that you want to do is, I know you guys love to use the term clean up your mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in psychology, we call it repair. But because I got triggered and I wasn't able to see clearly in that moment, I might have made a mess with a relationship or a coworker.
Things I said.
And so I can go back and say, hey, I'm so sorry. That was not you. I got triggered because of XYZ. That's still not you. And I'm sorry for what I said.
Wow.
Right. So, it's just knowing how we're wired, knowing that we have that 3 parts of our brain, knowing that there's a reason for all of this, and learning how to work with that. And if you do those 5 things, you know, you will. You'll get stronger and more in control of your triggers, and then have other people help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the worst is when my triggered self triggers your triggered self, and we're just, man, we're off to the races.
Yes.
And, you know, reality TV loves to, you know, if you ever watched chaos and reality TV, it's because they just put a few people in the room with similar triggers and they just trigger each other, and
people are entertained.
So entertaining. So that's part of it too.
Okay.
In relationships, we want to get to know each other's triggers and help each other instead of criticize or resent people for their triggers, but we get to help each other.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I imagine when you're both triggered, then there's just this escalation that mm-hmm. is probably out of control.
Right.
Or for me, I know if I, like, the thing I've had to learn is even just knowing it's okay to take a break to figure something out, which is the regulation probably, yes. which I didn't have the term, but because yes. I'm just like, keep going till we get there.
Oh gosh. So we're going to talk yeah. about male-female mm-hmm. differences, and that's such a female need under stress. It's like, we're going to talk about it right now.
Right now.
And it does make it worse. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to want to listen to that part too. Yeah. Well, okay. Honestly, we're going to keep this short and sweet because you covered a lot. Like I said, I wish I was taking notes. So I think you're going to have to go back and listen again to this and take notes. And honestly, the whole time you were teaching and talking, I was thinking, I have so many more questions. And for me, it was my own self. It's also parenting. Mm-hmm. When you gave the example of like mm-hmm. the 10-year-old you didn't get, you, and I'm like, I need to be giving this to my 10-year-old because I mm-hmm. don't get this. Yeah. If we didn't get it,
yeah.
Understanding to validate the feelings because that are completely illogical, mm-hmm. it's so mm-hmm. hard.
Totally.
And realizing when he's being that illogical,
yeah.
a son, I have three, so I get to say that because you don't know who I'm talking about.
Right.
But when he's being illogical and says some statements, then it triggers me. I'm like, oh, so I'm like, I need a session with Dr. Margaret. I need to take notes. I need to dig into this. But also, I know you have a course that would kind of help mm-hmm. them if somebody's mm-hmm. like, I just want to know more. I want to learn more. This is the yeah. first time hearing of this. Wow, I'm mind blown. What could they do? Where can they find more information from you on the topic?
I had this great privilege of partnering with Danny Silk to create this course for his Life Academy. So if you think if you just Google Danny Silk Life Academy, or it might be loplifeacademy.com, you will find a course called Overcoming Overwhelm.
Okay.
And it looks at the three major sources of when we have a reaction to a threat. So it will look at triggers.
Okay.
But it will also talk to you about stress and trauma because wow. they all have the same nervous system reaction for different reasons. And you deal with them similarly, but different. So you'll get three for the price of one if you just go.
Incredible. And, Overcoming Overwhelm.
Overcoming Overwhelm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that is something we know so little about as a layperson. I'm always like, what's trauma? You know, again, I think everything gets yeah. labeled trauma. So trauma, stress, which we all know we need help with, and then triggers and how to unpack that. So we'll put the link in the show notes. If you aren't driving, you can click it right now and see. But thank you so much for scratching the surface on this, giving us some tools, and then telling us how we can dive in more to
absolutely.
Not living in this triggered state and creating more messes.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. We'll see you next time, listeners. Okay. That was brilliant. And I hope you took notes. But let's run through an example of like, how does this actually flesh out in our lives?
Yeah.
One that I can think of for myself that is very triggering would just be I'm not doing enough, or the insinuation from a relationship. It could be for me in marriage, like, oh, an insinuation of like, we haven't had sex enough this week, or
yeah.
parenting. I haven't, you know, given them enough good treats.
Right.
Or in pastoring and workplace of like, I'm not showing up enough. I'm not succeeding enough. I'm not being enough of what somebody needs.
Yeah.
That would definitely feel like this trigger that then really probably shuts me down okay. and makes me want to.
Yeah.
completely avoid.
Yeah. So super insightful, because there was a common thread in everything you described, which is a core fear, which is it's not enough, right?
Like no matter what I do, it's not enough.
So it's connected with do. So what I do is not enough,
mm-hmm.
which is I'm not enough, right? So that makes a lot of sense. Already you can have some compassion. I'm having compassion on you. Like, you know, it's like that feel, that's a core, oof, you know, it hits that shame button of I'm not enough.
Yep.
So we already know, okay, I have this insecurity
mm-hmm.
trigger around I'm not enough. So then I would ask you, okay, what's it look like when you get triggered?
I avoid probably. It'd be different in every scenario, because
sure.
the pastoring one would probably mm-hmm. be like, I avoid. Okay, well, I'm never going to be enough for all of the people. So I would kind of just back up and avoid. Mm-hmm. In marriage, it would be more of a trigger that would then lead to frustration, because then I'd be like, I should keep track of how much we have sex. Yeah. We have it 4 times this week. What do you mean it's not enough?
Okay. So in a professional environment, I go internal reaction.
Mm, yep.
Makes sense. 100%. Because
you can't go professional to go. Right? So I can't be Catwoman.
You repress, which is a very much thing that women do in the professional environment. But when I'm at home, I go external.
Yep.
Which definitely. Is I get angry or kind of act out. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And then you want to ask yourself, what are the things that actually trigger that response? So, well, I think you already said that.
Yeah, it could be an insinuation of we haven't had time together, or at work. Yeah, of just feeling like in a professional environment for sure. Of just like, I can't make everybody happy.
There you go.
There's too many people to make happy.
Yeah. And then you want to ask yourself, what happens in my body when that happens? Mm-hmm. What do I notice physiologically in my body?
That's interesting, because with that whole external internal, I would say with the at home relationship, I could feel the anger and frustration. Mm-hmm. And then professionally, mm-hmm. I would feel like I just want to run away. Like I'll never be, I can't do it.
Yeah. So I'm sure the listeners are thinking of their own and going through their own.
Please.
So this is what I would do, you know, in a counseling session with you. I would actually now ask you, and we're going to do kind of in the shorter version because I don't want to trigger her right now. But I would have you think of one of those moments, and I would say, can you connect with that? Because remember, it's there.
Right.
It's not going to take much for you to connect about. Just thinking about it could trigger you.
Yeah.
So I would encourage them to connect with it in the moment for the purpose of, let me show you how you now can regulate.
Okay.
Number one, you're going to get a lot more information of what's happening inside. And then we're going to practice the very first thing you want to do when you get triggered, when you catch it, is to now regulate your body. So, you know, if you're noticing, say someone says, my chest is really tight, my heart's is racing. Okay. So can you breathe, right? Because when your heart racing and your chest is tight, you're not breathing. So we're going to breathe. We're going to relax our body. Turn your attention towards your chest. What's the sensation? Can you describe it? Oh, it's really tight. Okay. Now just be with the sensation. Breathe through it. When you pay attention to it and you breathe through it, you're actually allowing it to complete instead of just get stuck there. Mm. When you're at work, it's a little trickier. It's getting stuck.
Yeah.
You're going to have to deal with it later. Mm. But when you're at home, you probably have a little more leeway where you can say, hey, give me a minute, go to the bathroom, sit down, focus on the sensation, breathe through it, and then notice what kind of happens with the energy that's being mobilized for fight or flight. So if it's flight energy, you're going to want to kind of shake it out.
Okay.
Instead of it just sit there in your body.
Got it.
If it's fight energy, you know, it might feel a little, it might still be shake it out, but more in a like kind of aggressive way.
Yeah.
But all of that is just helping your body. Everything that it mobilized for the threat, you're allowing it to release, but you're also teaching yourself it's okay. This is a 3. It's not a 10.
Yeah.
You can put your hand on your heart and just hold your hand on your heart. That sends a message to your nervous system that you're actually safe. That this is not a war zone, but you're just going to breathe, slow down your body, try to relax and release any energy that was mobilized in a way that feels good to your body.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. So those are great examples of how to regulate. Cause I think even hearing, you know, the breakdown, you're like, okay, yeah, how? Mm-hmm. One thing that while you were saying it, I realized there's something I do definitely more in like the professional environment. Is if I'm in, like, I also, a trigger probably would be around confrontation when I'm like, oh, you know, somebody could be sitting next to me and thinking this isn't confrontation, but to me, I'm like, oh, yes, it is. And what's funny is I go like this and I do it without thinking. It's subconscious. I've been doing it for years, probably started when I was young. Uh-huh. So it's something like that. And I'm wondering, as listeners are thinking through their own thing, is there things like that that might even be automatic that we've done without even logically making the decision to do.
Yeah. So it might be one of your tells that you're triggered.
Oh.
And it may be, I don't know, this is where you'd have to get really curious the next time you do it. Or even, you know, when you go home tonight, do it.
Yeah.
And just go, okay, get really curious and go, how does this feel? Does this feel good? Like, this is me actually trying to soothe myself. You know, it's like the kid with the thumb or the, you know, soft blanket. They found something soothing.
Yeah.
But now you want to go with it because now you have intention.
Right. Wow,
so for me, I will notice that like by the end of the day, if I didn't process something, my knee will start bobbing and I'm actually releasing flight energy.
Wow.
But now I know that. And I go, oh, I'm so grateful to my body. On its own, it's trying to release what I didn't get to release earlier in the day. But now I'm going to set, I'm going to make the mind-body connection, and I'm going to set my intention to my body. I'm going to feel that sensation, and I'm going to allow it. And I'm just going to go with it and partner with it until my body tells me, thank you, I'm done. Right. Or I might help enhance it. I might need to also just get up, you know, and walk around or kick it out. Or when it's really intense, I'm not a runner, but when it's really intense, I feel like I can run a marathon. Like I need to go run.
Yeah.
So it's that mind body connection that you're wanting to strengthen and enhance.
Okay.
And if someone's with you, you know, this is where you want to get to know people. So I love to ask the question, because usually with a couple, one of them is touch. Their love language is touch. I'm like, ah, her love language is touch. This is easy. You know, she's dysregulated. Just grab her hand.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen that happen in a session. You just grab and the person just starts to go.
Right. Wow.
So there's ways other people can regulate with you. There's ways you can co-regulate your family. You know, so I watch my brother and my sister-in-law do this with their kids. They've okay. kind of naturally started some traditions, like on a Friday night where they watch movies. And I watch the whole family just
wow.
Because it's been a week and they don't even know they're doing this. You know, I'm sitting there analyzing, going, oh, they're co-regulating and they don't even know it, you know.
That's so intriguing.
But they know that when they sit down with a movie as a family, not just put the iPad in front of the kids, that regulates the whole family. So wow. You can even think about your family. What are the things that we do that we watch the whole family come back into alignment? What wow. are the things we do as a couple, right? What are the things that I do at work, you know?
Wow.
There you go.
Amazing. Yeah. And then what about repair? Is that
And then you allow yourself to feel the emotion now that you're back.
Oh, the feeling.
You're back
yep.
in your, you know, full brain, not just your survival brain. So then you go back and you go, okay, how did that feel? You know, when I was doing this, I was feeling something, mm-hmm. you know? What was I feeling? Oh man, I was feeling not good enough. Okay. Now do for that inner child what she needed all along. It's okay to not feel good enough. Mm. We all feel not good enough sometimes. Let's just sit here and feel it. Do you feel it in your body? Where do you feel it? Yeah, it's like my heart's broken. Okay. Just sit there with your heart. Be with your heart. It's okay to feel not good enough. And you're also allowing the emotion to have a beginning and a middle and an end, just like you're having your nervous system have its beginning, a middle, and an end. And, you wow. know, kids, they feel it, and then they're done.
Yeah.
And then they move on, and mm-hmm. that's it. But for you, you never got to do that around this not good enough, and so that's why it keeps coming up. It's going to keep coming up until you finally allow yourself to embrace it and be okay with it and be for yourself what you needed all along.
Wow. So good.
And then repair is if I messed up, you know, or I hurt someone with mm-hmm. my words, you know, I'm going to go back to them and say, hey, I was having a moment there.
Yeah.
It wasn't you, you know, forgive me. And maybe I can even sell them if it's a close relationship or close work relationship. I could say, you know, I'm realizing these things trigger me. You know, for me, it triggers my shame if like back when I had bosses, you know, if they left me a message and was like, hey, give me a call, click. Ooh, that would trigger that not good enough.
Yeah.
Right? So like, letting them know, like, oh, you know, it's so helpful when you just leave a little message with your
yeah,
thing,
like just you know. Wondering if you want to go to lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, this is not about being perfect. Yes. This is just about recognizing, yeah, I kind of have this insecurity. I have this vulnerability. It's just a vulnerability.
Okay.
And I need you. We're going to, you know, I need you in this. I need help in this. And I need to help myself. There's ways you are doing to yourself what was done to you.
Mm.
And when you realize that, that's a game changer.
Wow.
Like I'll never forget one day I was having a session with someone and out of the blue, you know, like God does, I get this image and it's of a rag doll and this knife. She's like so morbid, this knife going through her heart. And I was like, God, is this for my client? And I heard, nope, that would be for you. And I was like, okay, you got my attention. We will talk about this later.
Yeah.
And then he showed me, he's like, you know, your vulnerability is getting triggered in this particular friendship and you're doing to yourself what your inner child felt, which was not really acknowledged.
Wow.
And you just kind of, and we need you to stop doing that. We need you to stop doing to you what was done to you. Because we just do to ourselves what we learned.
Wow.
Right. So once you get that piece of your not good enough thing, or not doing enough, that's the game changer. Because now you've reparented it and it's no longer a fear. It's done. You know you're going to be okay.
That's so beautiful. Wow. Mind blown. Thank you for that example.
Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.